This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Vinny watched the games from the owner's box. Haney sat with Wild Bill Hagee.
Come on, Ken! Put it in the bullpen!
Vinny and Haney.
Come on, Al! Hit a home run now!
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Hope you had a great weekend, everyone. It's a beautiful day outside, so if you're getting your power walk in, keep it tuned to the Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, legal tampering in the NFL starts in about 55 minutes. Ravens were in the news, and good news at that. Here to talk about that and more on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's with the Baltimore Sun. Let's welcome back to the program, Brian Wacker. Brian, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Not as good as Ronnie Stanley is feeling, and a beautiful day for the Ravens left tackle, that's for sure.
Yeah, 44 million guaranteed reasons to be smiling and walking on sunshine and all of the good stuff. But Eric DaCosta said, as you know, of course, at the combine, this looked like a fait accompli. I'm using a fancy word there. Thank you very much. That it was going to happen. So it's done. No drama, no controversy, just a plug and play. Now what happens next? Was Ronnie in the fold or in the nest? What's next on the agenda for old EDC and the rest moving forward this week?
Well, they certainly have plenty of needs, and one of them will probably be filling in, some spots along that offensive line because with Stanley re-signing, that probably means that Patrick McCurry is gone, and we'll find that. We'll get more clarity on that, of course, as you mentioned, when that period opens at 12 today and in the hours and days afterward. But I think in all likelihood, there's a very high probability that, the Ravens utility knife along that offensive line will go elsewhere. Of course, they can just replace him in-house with Andrew Voorhees, who was the starter at left guard before he went down with an injury and never kind of returned to that lineup. But they'll need some depth issues there elsewhere. Look, they need some cornerback help. That's probably, the next thing on the list. Brandon Stevens will get a chance to test the market and may not be back. So that leaves them a little thin at that position. Tre'Davious White could be a guy that they could look to bring back if the price is right, as Eric DaCosta likes to say. Safety, another position, of course, with Marcus Williams expected to be released. So, that defensive secondary, and then, maybe some linebacker needs there. They've got a couple of free agents there as well with Malik Harrison and Chris Board. But I expect that, there's probably a pretty good chance they could bring them back. It'll be really interesting. Patrick Ricard, only about half the teams in the league utilize a fullback. And it'll be interesting to see if he comes back, but he has said he wants to retire a Raven. So that will, play itself out here in the coming days and weeks. So a lot going on for this group, for sure.
Brian, I tend to agree. I could see the Ravens like wanting to get a veteran corner because with the addition of Metcalf, you know, you've got two big receivers in Pittsburgh now that can run. You got two really good receivers in Cincy. Cleveland's got one. So you need help there. But I can see them at 27. I think either Starks or Emmanuel could definitely be the guy there. You know, bigger safeties, because I like Washington, but he's 5'9", and you got all these big receivers in the division.
Yes, I totally agree. I think that covers it well for their needs. And to your point, you know, you can look at Stanley, right? One of the reasons they brought him back, of course, is the division loaded with pass rushers. Same thing now with receivers, you mentioned, and we saw how badly exposed the secondary got last season. Some of that was communication issues. Some of that was scheme and so forth. They made adjustments, but there's still a need there at both of those positions.
Now, with the offensive line, I think they'll probably try to look for a tackle that can also play guard, I would think. And you know, maybe because you got Ronnie and you got Rosengarten, and really you have no backup tackle whatsoever, like you mentioned about McCary. You know, and so if you got a guy who can come in and beat Voorhees out, if you take one at 27, more than likely you think he can beat out Voorhees, which would kind of solidify the line, because you're going into this line where you've got four starters back.
Yeah, and, you know, look, they're in that window with Lamar. I know Derek Acosta talks about always being in a window, and that's largely true. But, look, this is the time. This is a team that's on the cusp of a Super Bowl, right, or has been these past few years. And to your point, so they could look at, you know, you look at the draft, a guy like Gray Zabel out of North Dakota State, this guy's played both guard and tackle. We sort of look at him as a younger cheaper version of potentially of a Patrick McCary, you know. You know, so maybe they look there at 27 with that pick in the first round, depending on how the rest of the board falls. I do think, you know, corner, safety, one of those two positions is probably more likely there, again, depending how that board falls. But they're going to need to find some guys to add depth and versatility along that line, because, you know, they've got the four starters back for sure. And beyond that, there's a lot of question marks.
Now, the Josh Allen deal, do you think that affects, when does it affect Lamar? Next year?
Well, I think Lamar, certainly next year, you know, but I think potentially those talks are, you know, happen sooner than that, because, you know, you look at Lamar's cap numbers and they're huge after this year. So I think they need to restructure that if they can, you know, maybe extend him, you know, one of those two options. I mean, of course, Lamar signed that 5-year, $260 million deal. And guys, the cap number this year is 43.6. 26 and 27, it's 74.665. So obviously those latter years, 26 and 27, you know, those will get sort of, like I said, either restructured or extended to lower those numbers, because those are massive numbers. But yes, look, anytime a quarterback gets a new deal, that's going to affect Lamar's ultimate contract. And look, we knew this when he signed the 5-year deal, that he was probably going to be looking to redo that deal, you know, 3 years into it. So I think that's where we're at, and it certainly will affect what kind of numbers he ultimately gets.
Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun, joining us, Biddy and Haney, 105.7 The Pad, talking some NFL. Brian, last thing for you. I guess it could be Ravens related. Myles Garrett sticking around in Cleveland. How stunned were you that thing all unfolded? Because Friday, last time we were on the air, Haslam didn't want to talk. They were shutting doors. And it seemed as though they were at an impasse. Now it's a kumbaya. So your surprise level for Myles Garrett sticking around in Cleveland is what right now?
Look, for all that bluster of, you know, Haslam not taking that meeting and all the noise that was circulating, guys, I mean, how many times have we seen a top-tier edge rusher hit the market? Like, it just doesn't happen very often. So I'm not hugely surprised that they didn't allow him to get out of the building because, one, it just doesn't happen that much in this league. It's pretty rare. So I'm not surprised from that standpoint. And again, this is a team that, that's their best player. And you can't let your guy, your best player, just walk out the door for nothing. So I'm not hugely surprised that these guys, they don't get traded very often. They don't get, moving free agency very often. So not terribly surprised that he ultimately was not moved.
Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun, covers the Ravens in the NFL. Brian, appreciate the time. Enjoy your legal tampering, which starts in about 45 minutes right now.
Happy free agency.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Here's Brian Wacker, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around coming up next. Talk Orioles, Rock and Baco, MassinSports.com. Birds tonight taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Won't be seeing Grayson Rodriguez anytime soon. Definitely won't be seeing Andrew Kittredge. What does that mean for Mike Elias here less than 3 weeks from opening day? Are we looking for more arms?
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport,
every game,
everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
All right, time for the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is March Madness, almost. Conference tournaments, some have already been completed. Drake wins the Missouri Valley, among other things. And we'll get to the teams that have already qualified later on in the program. And we talked earlier about Towson tonight taking on Delaware. You can watch that game. CBS Sportsnet, Navy upset number 1 Bucknell. They will play American U, coached by Dwayne Simpkins, former Terp, Wednesday night. That one also on CBS Sportsnet. In the Big Ten men, yesterday. Maryland women, by the way, they got thumped in the Big Ten tournament. So they just wait for the seedings to come out. But still, great year. Brendan Freeze, given all the injuries and the accomplishments that they had had. Now you move on to the big dance and see if she can get to that Sweet 16 level, which she has done, by the way, multiple times. Multiple times. But on the men's side, number 8, Michigan State, 79-62 over Michigan. There was a melee at the end of the game, but Michigan State had already clinched the Big Ten regular season. But, you know, Nolan, as you and I were talking about Friday, they got something to play for. They're trying to seed up.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the 2 line right now. We'll see how things unfold over the next few days. But Michigan State, much more to play for in the regular season. It was senior day, and they thumped the Wolverines with the blowout win by the number 8 Spartans. Maryland gets the number 2 seed in the Big Ten tournament. They'll play 6:30 on Friday. What is it, Nolan? Ohio State, Iowa, or Illinois, the 3 possible opponents.
That's right. So you're probably thinking most likely Illinois, just the more advantageous seed, shorter road to go through. But I don't know, I think if you're the Terps, you're not really fearful of anybody, nor should you be. And, you know, you said it earlier in the show, those are 3 teams that you have beat at one point this year.
Yeah, and you lost to Ohio State, and I'm assuming there'd be a level of revenge that you'd like to exercise against them. But first things first, speaking of Iowa, they beat Nebraska 83-68, and Rutgers in overtime beat Minnesota 75-69. Dylan Harper, 75-67. Dylan Harper in his last home game, he had 22.
I was watching some of that game. He had a chance right before the game ended, and then they stole the ball from him, and then it went to OT.
So NBA last night, real quick, it was Oklahoma City, 127-103 Denver. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 40 points, 8 boards, 5 assists. Aaron Wiggins, 4-7-1. Aaron Wiggins, by the way, I don't know if you saw it, on Friday night at 30.
Damn.
Because the SGA was out, so Aaron Wiggins, Terp, he went off. Phoenix, 125-116 over Dallas. Dallas had 7 healthy players at the final buzzer. Trying to get it done. That kid Marshall's playing his ass off for the Mavs, but they're shorthanded. Devin Booker, 24 for the Suns. Damian Lee, Coward Hall, did not play. Coach's decision for Phoenix, and it was Memphis, 107-104 New Orleans. Ja Morant had 32. Santi Aldama, dealing with a calf injury, he sat that one out. We'll talk baseball, Royals with Rock Abaco. But if you missed this, Garrett Cole, Yankees right-hander stud, recommended that he gets Tommy John. Looking for the always fun and favorable second opinion.
Yeah, I think he's in denial a little bit right now. Yeah, I'm going to get a second opinion, you know. And you know what's going to happen is he's going to go to another expert, and I confirm what the other guy said is what's going to happen.
Or tell him what he wants to hear, and then his arm falls off.
Right.
And, his third start.
Then he blames you, and then, you know, nobody ever comes to see you again.
Whip around video and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NHL last night. Yesterday, Capitals taking on the Kraken, and it was a competitive game. Capitals took an advantage, but in the end, AOV creeping closer.
And Nick Dowd forcing it up the middle. Wilson was trying to feed Ovechkin, but in tight quarters, Ovechkin got it away. He scores! A backhander from the red line! He did it! Ovechkin scores from long distance!
Capitals radio network on the call.
Yeah, and the Caps were down. They looked like they didn't even want to play early on, and Seattle came out. They were on a back-to-back, and they came out, and they were taking it to the Caps, and then the Caps kind of got it together, and then they got the empty netter. But on Friday, Bob, was the trade deadline for NHL. And like one of the biggest moves, Brad Marchand, who was the captain of the Bruins, got traded to the Florida Panthers. Florida, and hockey's crazy, Bob, because their cap, like Tkachuk went on long-term IR till the end of the season. So in hockey, you can take Tkachuk's salary and use it till the end of the year while he's on IR. You know, so they bring in Marchand, and Florida's got a chance, real good chance. They won 6 in a row now. They've got a real good chance to run it back. But the Caps sit at 92 points. They won 4 in a row. They're looking good. A lot of the Caps dudes, though, have not had a lot of playoff success. You know, there's not a lot of guys left from the championship team.
That was 7 years ago,
yeah.
2018. And what, 2 years ago, Boston set the record for the greatest regular season in the history of the NHL, and they fired their coach, and they're unloading stars. So I guess the window's closed.
Oh, yeah. And the worst part is, Bob, the people, their young guys in the AHL is not good. So they're in a long rebuild.
So other than that, everything's great for the Bruins. Tuesday night, tomorrow night, Caps at Anaheim taking on the Ducks. Washington 42-14-8. Anaheim right now 28-28-7. And they've shown a pulse lately. They are on the outside looking in, however, of these Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, that the Caps, you know, they got the West Coast trip now. And Anaheim, you know, I'm sure that'll be somewhat of a tough game for them, but it's a game that the Caps should win. The Caps are better than Anaheim. Anaheim's, you know, they've been in a rebuild for a while. They got some young, good, talented players.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. The whip around here on this Monday. No real musical themes. We're just jamming to Nolan's vibe. This day, sports history, a couple things Maryland hoops related. It is March 10th, 1984, Greensboro, semifinals of the ACC tournament. 14th-ranked Maryland beat 19th-ranked Wake Forest, 66-64. Adrian Branch, Ben Coleman, 16 each. Len Bias, who would be the MVP of said tournament. Championship game will be tomorrow, of course, against Duke. He had 15, so Maryland holds off the Demon Deacon. Duke upset number one-ranked North Carolina with Michael Jordan and Brad Daugherty, Kenny Smith in the semifinals to set up that matchup this day. 30 years ago, get the bleep out of here. 30 years ago, Greensboro, 10th-ranked Maryland, beat Florida State 71-64. ACC Player of the Year, National Player of the Year, Joe Smith. Did Joe Smith stop? 15 points, 16 rebounds. Johnny Rhodes at 13. Mario Lucas, old number 21, he had 12 as Maryland would advance to play North Carolina in the semifinals of the ACC tournament. Since Maryland lost in overtime, we won't be talking about that one. We won't be talking about this team till we get to the NCAA tournament. By the way, point guard on that team, Dwayne Simpkins, who's the head coach now at American U. We'll come back, talk some Orioles, Rock and Baco, MassetSports.com, and then we'll get to Nolan McGraw's Funhouse, and then back to the Ravens and pre-agency. News from the Nest, Ronnie Stanley sticking around. I'm assuming you are cool with that.
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere f***ing else.
Orioles tonight taking on the Pirates. Less than 3 weeks away from first pitch in Toronto. Birds battling injuries, so are the Yankees. Every team going through their share of issues as opening day's now in March, everybody. Matter of fact, Cubs and Dodgers, I think, play next week. Vinny and Andy, Bob, Andy, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw here talking about the Orioles. Let's get the walking wounded and the positives. A lot of that going on, too, from MassetSports.com. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's bring in Rock Abaco. Rock, what is up? How you feeling, buddy? I'm here on this
Doing
Monday.
Doing good. Thanks.
All right.
Doing good.
Grayson Rodriguez. All right. Velo drop baseball term last week. I know he had said to the assembled masses down in Florida, hey, I don't want to throw 100 miles an hour. Maybe I'll throw 95. But, boy, that thing dipped significantly within the course of five outs. So now we are where we are, which is where, for people who may not have heard the Grayson Rodriguez news, which is a catastrophic but not great right now.
Yeah, I don't think he wanted to throw 89.5. Right. I don't really think that was part of his ramp up. I mean, it actually felt like good news. Yes, I even asked Brandon, I said, is this considered good news? He's like, yeah, because it's a cortisone shot. It's the back of the elbow where it connects to the tricep, and they're talking about shutting him down 7 to 10 days, starting a throwing progression. It's not a ligament they've been stressing. So if that all holds true, it's not catastrophic, but it's still IL to start the season after you lost Corbin Burns in free agency, and you've already got other guys who are hurt right now. So, I mean, it's not great, but it could have been a lot worse, especially when it went from tricep soreness to it's more in the back of the elbow. As soon as you hear elbow, you think the worst. So, you know, they may have dodged a bullet there, but the frustrating part for him and for the team, obviously, is trying to keep Grayson Rodriguez healthy. He wanted to make 30-plus starts this year. He was on the IL twice last year, shoulder and that lat tear strain, which he's had twice now. He would have been upped with the Orioles in 2022. They were getting ready to promote him until that happened at Norfolk. And now you have this, and you don't want this to become a thing like with D.L. Hall, unfortunately, where it seems like there's constant injuries. You want this guy to be the ace he's capable of being, but you got to keep him on the mound. And even train in the offseason to avoid putting too much strain on the lat area, more on the scapula, but then they end up with something completely different, which is back of the elbow.
All right, now with him starting on the IL, Suarez, Povich, Suarez, I know you projected the starting rotation this morning, massinsports.com. You're leaning Povich now because he's left-handed. Is that the reasoning here? And he's pitched pretty well, too.
Yeah, well, he has. That's the big thing. He had a 2.6 ERA in September. So it isn't just how well he's looking, a couple appearances. And he's only, I think, pitched in two games here. He threw four innings on the backfield. But it's more than that because he looked so good in September as well. It would be a bonus to have a lefty, but they were prepared not to have one until this happened. So, you know, and I know Brandon said not long ago that if he was numbering them, basically he had Suarez 6 and Povich 7. So he'd have to leapfrog. But to me, it's just an easier way to go. Povich certainly has earned it. And Suarez is already projected as like the ace guy in the bullpen, a long guy. If you put Suarez in the rotation, I'm not convinced that you have Povich in the pen. I think they'd rather than have him starting every 5 days in AAA. So now you need another long man to replace Suarez. So I feel like it's just a simpler move to put Povich there, and he's earned it. But it would not shock me, obviously, if they went the other way. Also, you know, there's still that possibility. There could be a late signing, trade, waiver claim. The Athletic reported, and it makes perfect sense, as the Orioles are – you know, looking around here, of course they are, and I think other teams are as well. But if you do bring in somebody, it better be somebody who's been doing a lot of throwing back home, because otherwise you're going to have to send them down to AAA to build up in order to have them starting in a major league game. But for now, if it stays in-house, if it does, it is definitely a steel cage match between Povich and Suarez. I'm just giving Povich that little bit of an edge.
Yeah, just watch out for that, what's that guy's name, that John Cena coming out of nowhere, turning the tides on you there. Rockabacco, massinsports.com. Andrew Kittredge, won't see him for a while. How does this impact the back end of the bullpen? We know Batista, he pitched Friday, you know, still the command's not there. Velo, you know, high 90s, but Dominguez, holy mackerel, slow pitch softball stuff there. So Kittredge absence means what to the bullpen right now for Brandon Hyde?
Yeah, I seen what you did there, by the way. Yeah, Kittredge, and this is a couple months at least with the knee surgery. We only saw him pitch once. This is the guy that they signed thinking he'd be one of their high leverage relievers. They let Jacob Webb go, and then this happens. A guy that made a career high like 72 appearances last year with the Cardinals, and then he makes one appearance with the Orioles, just their luck. But, you know, it really did open the door for Brian Baker, which I still think it's open for him, even though he had that really weird outing yesterday. He hadn't allowed a base runner in his first three games, and he gives three home runs and like one and a third or something. One was wind blown. One was definitely the Florida fly ball that just keeps going and scrapes the backside of the fence. But he did give up three, but I don't think you judge him too strongly on just this one outing. I still think for now it opens the door for him to be that guy, and not that he has to be on the 40-man. They're going to put a couple on the 60 DL, and that opens up, or IL, and that'll open up the 40 space. But I feel like, you know, he's really a guy that's impressed since the beginning of camp, and they've seen him when he's been really good in the past, not as much last season. So probably him, but there are a few other ways they can go as well if they need to go to the bullpen with somebody else. But there aren't a lot of guys in camp that you're saying, wow, this reliever is not projected to be on the opening day roster is really turning heads. You haven't really seen a lot of that. So it is possible, again, there could be a late claim. You know, Danny Coulombe was a trade, I think it was the last day of spring training a few years ago for, I believe it was cash considerations, one of those. So don't be surprised. Keep an eye on the waiver wire and keep an eye on guys who look like they don't have a spot and are available, because it would not shock me if the Orioles did something really late.
Hey, Rock, who have you been impressed with hitting-wise, and who have you been disappointed with hitting-wise thus far?
Well, Jackson Holliday, and it's really fascinating how they've given the former top prospect in baseball, first overall pick, a little bit of a makeover, just that, and it's not something he's not capable of doing, but they're like, you know, we don't need you hitting a bunch of home runs, that you have the power. They want him to be more of a small ball, disruptive guy, lay down bunts, steal bases, be aggressive, you know, things like that, spray the ball to all fields, line drives. And that's really going to take advantage of his skill set. And occasionally he's going to pop a home run. And he really seems to have embraced that to the point where we saw him back-to-back try and lay down a bunt yesterday. And then he ended up reaching on an error, stealing second and scoring from second on a throw home that was errant. Nobody covered the plate. So, yeah, he's a guy. Adley Rutschman absolutely looks like first half Adley right now, and the Adley that we saw before that, not the second half guy. A lot of balls hit to the opposite field, spraying line drives all over, but then we saw him hit a home run the other day where it was a high fastball left out over the plate, and he clubbed it over the right field fence from the left side of the plate. So he really, really looks like he's set up to have a huge year. Again, spring training, but that's what we're seeing. And then some guys like Machin that we didn't know really much about, who was playing in Mexico, putting up big numbers, and, you know, Levon Soto, who we do know and who may end up replacing if Gunnar Henderson goes on the IL. He could be one of the shortstops. A lot of guys like that, Luis Vasquez, you know, they had all this depth with infielders that have really, really looked good in camp. You know, Kobe Mayo is a disappointment. He did have a hit yesterday in Clearwater. We weren't there, but he had one, and he had a broken bat single for like only a second hit in camp the other day in Sarasota. He's lined out a few times, but this is a guy that we know how much he struggled at the major league level last year, and you were kind of hoping, even if there wasn't a spot waiting for him, that he would have a really, really strong camp, and then, you know, beating down the door, waiting for an opening. And he's just hitting some bad luck. He's had some poor at-bats. Now, we're assuming AAA, but, you know, if you do have to replace Gunnar on opening day, one path you could take is carrying another corner infielder like him or Emmanuel Rivera and moving guys around to shortstop rather than replacing him with a middle infielder. But for now, I would assume Mayo would be in AAA, where hopefully he hits like he normally does in the minors and sets himself up for a promotion.
Rockabacco, MassinSports.com, Orioles Pirates tonight, 6:05. You can check it out on Masson, as a matter of fact. Rock, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy Florida, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
There's Rockabacco. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, News from the Nest. Coming up top of the hour, talk Ravens. Ronnie Stanley's back. We're cool with that, right? Anyone that's uncool with it, love to hear your reasoning for that one. Legal tampering starts in about 15 minutes. Who's getting tampered with? Maryland off until Friday at 6:30. Opponent to be determined as the number 2 seed in the Big Ten tournament. So Maryland, can they get to a 3? They got to win the tournament, I would think. I think a 4 seed, if they get semifinals, championship game, could be real. So I'm assuming we'll get Jerry Palm in here sooner or later. Got to start showing some tribute here, Jerry Palm, when it comes to Maryland. Hey, what was it, Friday? Lunardi had him as a 4 seed. So we'll talk about that and more. And we just talked to Rockabacco about the Orioles' injury woes. And, you know, not catastrophic, he says, for Grayson, but not an ideal situation. Starting on the IL is bad, especially for a guy who's expected to be one of the linchpins of your rotation. And a guy that, quite frankly, now we look at it, hasn't pitched since July of last year in a meaningful game. Let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how you feeling? How's that new haircut treating you?
Oh, I'll live with that, you know.
Yeah.
It'll fix itself pretty quickly. I mean, well, let's be honest here. It's not as bad as we're making it sound, okay. I don't think. I mean, it's fine. Like, I didn't have to wear a hat today.
No. I'm not. They didn't, like, put, like, a giant chop and all that. Look, I need a haircut. I'm not here talking trash. I'm just, you know, it is what it is.
Take some of yours and glue it to the front of me and get me through the week.
That's right.
But anyway, on this Orioles stuff, not as good of a situation. Won't fix itself as quickly as my haircut will, but I mean, as you would imagine, you know, the fan base pretty up in arms this weekend. You know, how did we get here? How did we get to this point? The typical stuff, you know, Elias this, Ruben Stein that, all the stuff. And it is what you expect. And if I'm being honest with you, I mean, I get the sentiment. I do. It's frustrating. It's extremely frustrating before the season even begins to have this kind of news that you almost feel like is derailing you. You know, this was on paper in Grayson Rodriguez, potentially your best starter. Andrew Kittredge, supposed to be a top three reliever for you this season. That's what he was signed to do. Maybe the best behind Felix Bautista. And it remains to be seen what's going to happen with Gunnar Henderson, who is your unquestioned best hitter. I mean, you're looking at a situation where you could be entering opening day without three of your best pieces. And look, people aren't happy about it. I get it. At a certain point, you can't plan for these injuries to happen, especially like a Gunnar Henderson thing. You know, that's a guy that you expect to have in your lineup every day. Things are a freak accident at a certain point. But I look at this offseason that just was, and again, I see opportunities where they could have added more depth and they chose not to. And to me, that's what's frustrating. They just went through this last year. You had all the injuries a year ago, and it seems like they just didn't learn their lesson.
All right, I'm going to ask you to name one player that went elsewhere that the Orioles realistically should have made a run for.
Well, that wasn't the point, but I agree with you.
But Tarek Skubal ought to have been all in on that. Garrett Crochet, but Skubal's not going anywhere.
I instantly went to in-house guys, Santander.
No, I'm
Burns,
talking yeah. about who out there, because you knew Santander was moving on when they signed O'Neill, who, by the way, he got scratched with a rib. How about Trevor Rogers? Remember they traded for him from Florida last year? He popped his kneecap. Won't see him anytime soon. But of players that went elsewhere who were available for all to have, who's the one guy?
I would have liked one of that next tier down starters, the Nick Pavettas of the world. You know, that's where I'm not even shooting for the moon, but just protect your bottom line, you know, because even if everyone stayed at perfect health, you're kind of operating with just six. Rogers isn't a part of the equation for me. He can get there.
Yeah,
he can, but right now he's not a part of
it. In like August.
If he was healthy, he's not a part of the equation for me. I mean, he has to prove it. So they were six deep with perfect health, and you know you're not going to have perfect health. You knew that for a fact. And again, you just went through this last year, and they chose to approach the offseason like, no way that'll happen again. Well, it's starting to look like it might.
Well, you know, the good news is, if you want to call it that, the Yankees are matching the Orioles injury for injury right now. And I guess they're happy they didn't get rid of Marcus Stroman, who wanted out and didn't even show up on time for spring training. Now going to be a prominent part of their rotation. Do we have time, or you want to wait till next hour?
We'll just wait.
Let's just wait. Funhouse coming your way around 45 minutes, but coming up next, news from the Nest. Ravens re-sign Ronnie Stanley. I'm guessing everyone's cool with that. And if you're complaining, I want to know why. And Josh Allen got that big payday from Buffalo, which means that's going to happen with Lamar Jackson. Maybe not now. But what about the more immediate Saquon Barkley's deal with Philly? How does this affect Derrick Henry, which has kind of been moved to the back burner?
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.